What's going on, Reality Daily listeners? This is your boy Jeremy here, and we're talking all things Traders USA Season 2, Episode 4, otherwise known as My Reality TV Wet Dream. And as most of you know, a wet dream is best shared with a buddy. So I've got Wyatt here with me here in Traders Tower to talk all things Traders Episode 4. Wyatt, welcome to the dream.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if I would have put it in that category. You know, we get a little erotic with the Traders, but you know what? If there's ever going to be a reality show that you could say that about, it is going to be this. Like, the cast is so strong. But this is, like, such an episode that, like, I really couldn't have predicted. I couldn't have predicted who was going to be murdered. I couldn't have predicted who was going to be banished. And more importantly, Jeremy, I had no idea that Deontay Wilder was out of the game until, like, the banishment. I just missed it completely.
Well, clearly you're not paying attention.
Yeah, well, it was so quick.
To be fair, yes, it was. And I was watching it with my friend last night, and I saw it, and she was, like, confused. And I was like, all right. Like, I was like, Deontay left the game. Rewind it. And, yeah, so it was very, you know, swift under the rug. But, yeah, I guess that's a good place to start because it didn't, you know, it was very quick, and it was a two-second thing, but it appears that, you know, we saw in the last two banishments that Deontay had really struggled with the idea of banishing a faithful, even though the faithful had pled their case and they were basically, you know, being gaslit to believe that they weren't actually a faithful when they were. So it appears that you know, really triggered something in him. And I read a report after the fact that that it triggered some trauma from his childhood. So that is why he was so emotional about it in those scenes. What were your thoughts?
Well, it's like, my gut instinct is to want to call him a pussy. Now, I'm a little bit less hesitant to do it now because you just said that it was about his trauma. But, like, to me, it was like, man, like, if you were ever going to go on a reality competition show, this is the easiest, right? It's not like Survivor where you're on the island. It's not The Amazing Race. We have to do all these challenges. It's not, you know, Big Brother where you're watched under surveillance. This is, like, the easiest show. This is why they can get people like Dan and Parvati and Sandra to come. It's because they only shoot, like, you know, 10-hour days for, like, a week. So if you ever were going to do something, this is the easiest one to do. So it's shocking to me, and I just want to call him such a wuss. But also, I remember that this guy could literally murder me. Like, this guy is a professional fighter, so it's hard to call him a wuss when you know that, like, he is anything but.
Yeah, I think you know, I wish that he maybe did a little bit more homework, realized what he was signing himself up for. But again, you know, you can be told all of these things and you can watch the show even, and that still doesn't necessarily translate to the real life experience of it. So hopefully he's able to get the support that he needs.
One of the greatest things, yeah, that I saw after this episode was Reality TV Fan. You know, we know that Twitter account, that Instagram account, you know, they post a lot of, like, the cast leaks when these things come out. Well, you know, it was clear, and it was clear at the end of the third episode, that we are going to see somebody else come into the game. We're going to see Kate from Below Deck at some point. I believe she comes in next episode. But,
well, spoiler alert.
Well, it was literally in the episode. At the end of the third episode, they showed it.
Well, yeah, but...
So I knew that there was a possibility that somebody would get medevaced, maybe a test positive for COVID or something like that, but apparently Reality TV Fan says that he had heard that originally Deontay Wilder was medevaced because he kicked a chair and broke his toe. So he doesn't know where that info, like, how the game of telephone got mixed up, but I do think that's hilarious that, like, he went 6 months thinking that, like, Deontay Wilder just broke his toe and got medevaced.
That's, well, maybe that is what happened. Maybe, but who knows? I think, you know, maybe it's both. Maybe it's, he was so upset about the trauma from his childhood that he kicked his, thing. But also, like, I mean, if you broke the toe in, like, September, could that heal enough in time for his fight in December?
I mean, I would think so. If he wasn't, I could kind of see why maybe he was. He lost that fight. And a big reason why he lost that fight is he just did not push the action. You know, he was a little bit more on the defense. So then he's a guy that has a ton of knockout power. He has to be the offensive. He has to make his opponent scared. And he just wasn't doing that. So, you know, I could see maybe a toe injury being something that actually could have, you know, prolonged into that time period. You know, maybe he just didn't want to lose all that money. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's something to it.
Let's get into the episode, because now, after we learn that Deontay walked from the show, and I think this may have even happened before that, but I just kind of wanted to get Deontay and his story kind of wrapped up. But we go back to the night that we left off, that we see that Parvati is ready to go in for the kill. And surprisingly, you know, we were kind of going back and forth, I think, on our last episode, you know, speculating who it may be. I thought that it might have been Sandra. Is someone like, you know, hey, this is the time to take a shot, go for someone like Sandra, and you know, kind of rid your hands of all the blood. But it ended up being Ek and Sue. And when I saw that, Wyatt, I was very disappointed.
Yeah, a jaw was definitely open for me. You bitch might have came out. Listen, I love Ek and Sue. I think we talked about it in the last episode. You know, the other two people that we were talking about, Navita and Insakan, they didn't understand, you know, how Ek and Sue is.
They don't understand, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, we know why she's so good. And I really wish that Ek and Sue and Parvati were, like, somewhat close. I kind of do wish they would have foreshadowed this a little bit better in the first three episodes, because I think it really would have, you know, stuck the dagger in. I could definitely see some people being like, what in the world? Like, why is this such a crazy betrayal or whatever? But, or why are people so shocked that she's not, she's the one that got killed? I think they probably could have did some better storytelling here. But yeah, just losing Ek and Sue, regardless of how we lost her, I would have been devastated, but I would have much, much more liked her to be banished, because I think that her fighting at that table, would have been an iconic scene. I mean, this was iconic too, but you know.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that we see Ek and Sue murdered at this point. You know, we're expecting her not to come down at breakfast. But the thing is, they did something very interesting here, where at breakfast, Dan and Phaedra are the first two to walk in, and they're looking at each other like, did we murder anyone last night? Like, do you remember what happened? Like they had just had a drunk night as the traitors. Like, they had no idea what actually happened. Which I thought Dan was maybe playing up a little bit of that. Dan may have known. I actually do think that Dan knew, because wasn't Dan right in there in the same room with Parvati and Ek and Sue when all that happened?
He was, but Parvati did say in her confessional that she doesn't even think that he was even paying attention to her, which, I mean, my question would be like, how could he not be? You know what I mean? Knowing that you got to kill somebody, but maybe he just didn't want to bring any attention to it. I don't know.
I think Dan knew. I think Dan definitely knew, and he was playing off like he didn't. But then Parvati is the next one to come in, and she comes in alone. So the three traitors are able to talk for the first time, outside of Traitor's Tower. They didn't even talk the night before. So maybe that's why they had all of them come in first. But Parvati basically says, I murdered Ek and Sue. And that was, a shock to both of them. Especially to Phaedra. And Phaedra's going to think, hey, this is not good necessarily for me, because I'm the only one in the game that's still left that voted for Ek and Sue. Do you think that Phaedra has reason to worry here?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that that's kind of where I assumed that fingers would be pointed. I guess it didn't matter, right? Because we didn't even see her get brought up towards the banishment or anything. So I guess it didn't work out. But I can understand why she would feel that way, because, you know, a lot of times people do not think of this game very critically. You know, they kind of just look at, like, the least common denominator. And the least common denominator is going to be like, well, who voted for who? Like, who's got a reason to kill Ek and Sue? Well, it's probably the person that voted for her.
Yeah, I think that that is you know, some crazy idea. I think Phaedra's played it really safe up until this point. And this is like the first time where like something could actually like put her at risk. So I do think that that is, you know, I think she's justified in that thinking. But yeah, people are going to come down for breakfast, and there's like three people left. And one of them is Ek and Sue. So we know that it's Ek and Sue. But they, like, the people don't. But then we see a ghost, Wyatt. Ek and Sue walks in the room.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing drama.
Yeah, and she walks in before MJ and before Burkow, I believe, right? So she wasn't even, like, the last person there. So just a shock on Dan and Parvati's face. And Parvati looks confused as fuck. And I was interested to see if anybody had maybe picked up on that and if it came off as, like, maybe disingenuous or anything. Like, if those were going to be something that people were going to hold against them. But yeah, loved Ekansu was there. Loved her reactions when we finally get the host come in, tells everybody she's like eating the stuff. What? She's great. I loved Ekansu. This is my Ekansu love letter. Because who knows? We may never see her back on television again.
I highly, highly doubt that. I think we're getting her back on television.
Well, it won't be American TV. Like, my guess would be like Celebrity Big Brother UK or I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Who knows? If they do a Celebrity Traders UK, which I think is certainly something that has been discussed, maybe they'll bring her in for that, even though she's already played in the American version.
Oh, please get me on Ekansu for Traders UK Celebrity. Absolutely. Sign me up. Sign me up yesterday. Like, get her in there because she is just incredible. And this episode was proving that for sure. And the thing is, like, Alan did say, like, before Ekansu, like, came in for breakfast and all that, and it was very subtle, but he did say that the poison would take into effect at some point during the day. So we learned that the poison is going to be kind of incorporated into the next mission. So in the mission, it's a funeral, which is like so morbid, but so like crazy and very camp. Like all of the players are dressed in black, like if they're going to a funeral. Like Parvati has like the little headdress that you see at funerals or whatever. It was just so like, it was so like perfect. I don't know. And the fact that it was for Ekansu of all people makes it even better, I think. Because I don't think like anyone deserved to have like a mission completely dedicated to their elimination, like Ekansu does. So we're treating the queen correctly. That's how I see it. So during this mission, the people that got shields in the last mission are obviously immune from being poisoned. So Janelle, Peter, and Tamra don't have to participate. They get to sit in the carriage, as the rest of the people go on like a death march, which is very, very, very morbid. But at the death march or whatever, they have three separate checkpoints. One, and each checkpoint has a question attached to it. And if the people answer the question correctly, they can eliminate people that are safe from the murder. So I believe the first question comes, and it is, which people have the same birth year? If you have the same birth year as another player, you are not the person that was poisoned. And so, there were people that like were figuring that out. But ultimately, the people that are the same age, Kevin and Dan are born in the same year. I think it's the 1983. And then Larsa and Sandra were also born in the same year, in 1974. But the funny part about all of this, and this is maybe the line of the episode, Wyatt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sandra gets a confessional, and she's like, I was surprised that Larsa and I were born in the same year because she looks about 10 to 12 years older than me. The screen that I scrimped.
Yeah, I cackled like a witch. And here's the thing, is like, I don't know if she's wrong with them damn braces in her mouth. She definitely looks a little younger, with the brace face going on. I gotta say though, I love Sandra. We love Sandra, right? I do find a little bit of her, like, her pristine, her like energy, to be a little bit down when she has like the slight lisp with the braces.
I know. I can't believe she has the braces in. Like, God bless her. But she really like fed us with this line for
yeah,
sure. Like,
so good.
I was, you know, immediately, you know, impressed by this. But I also look at like some of the other people in the cast, right? Like, I'm looking right now, like, Parvati and Dan, well, Parvati's born 1982, Dan was born 1983. Like, there are a lot of people that are the same year, or they're the same age, but are different years. So, like, Phaedra is also the same age as Larsa and Sandra at the time of filming. but Phaedra celebrated a birthday between, like at the end of the year last year. So technically, she was born in a different year. And so the players are going to figure out, you know, all of that. Then they're going to go to the second checkpoint. I forget exactly what that second checkpoint was. Did it have to do with the previous mission with the red, blue, and yellow? Or was that the third checkpoint?
I think it was Bananas was the next
one. Oh, yes. Who did Bananas trust the most? And this was like an obvious answer. Like, it was very clear that, that Trishel and CT, two people that were, also real world, the challenge, alumni, were obviously going to be on the same season. So, and people that Bananas trusted the most. So, those CT and Trishel are safe. And then they go to the final checkpoint, which is, you know, had a question to do with, oh, who was on the red team for the mission? So these are all very easy questions to answer. They were not like, it was very clear that they were, you know, not necessarily, like questions that were meant to trick them. It was mainly to get to the final stage, which was there are three people left. One of them has been poisoned and the group has to guess which person was poisoned in order to win the mission and $20,000. So the final three that were, potentially able to be poisoned were Parvati, who obviously wasn't because she's a traitor, but none of the other people know that except for Dan and Phaedra. And then you have, MJ, who is very clearly, a faithful, like, you know, it's like the group sees her as a for sure faithful. So, they're not necessarily going to think that she's a traitor, which is ultimately why she got all of the votes from the safe, players. And Ek and Sue also got no votes. And I think a lot of people thought that, you know, she would not, like, I don't think people were thinking Ek and Sue was a traitor, but they were thinking that, you know, they would be silly to kind of murder Ek and Sue at this point because there's a lot of heat on her. But the whole group votes for MJ. And of course it is revealed to the group that Ek and Sue is the one that was poisoned with the chalice that Parvati gave her, which, man, like crazy, 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 that the group got this wrong.
Yeah, it's a ton of criticism, I think, of production here. First off, I don't know if I'm just kind of like fan fictioning this a little bit, but don't you think, Jeremy, that if you were on this show, you would assume that one of the two people that survived the coffin is a traitor? Because the idea, right, is you want the traitors to have that moment where they have to put on their acting faces in the coffin. Like, that's what I would expect. So if I was playing the game, I would immediately say, it's either MJ or Parvati that's a traitor. And I don't think that's, like, crazy of me to think that. I don't know if I'm just, like, trying to outthink the game.
Well, you're not the only one who thought that, because I think the first thing that Peter said, Pilot Pete says, is MJ is a traitor in front of everybody.
Yeah. I just don't like that because I think it puts the traitors in a bad spot for something they didn't control. Unless the traitors got to control, you know, who are the final three in the coffins, I'd be okay with that. Second off, listen, I know MJ in the coffin was, like, the massive curve and everything. But, I mean, I really would have loved to have seen Bergie in that coffin. I just think that just like him being in confrontation, I just think that his reactions would have been fun. Because I think he'd be scared.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the group voting for MJ made a lot of sense. You know, I think because originally, like, I think if the traitors, if this was like a normal murder, I do think that it would have been MJ as one of the prime candidates. Phaedra probably would have done something to try to prevent that. But given that it was, you know, a murder in plain sight, you know, maybe MJ makes a little bit more sense. And I do think that the fact that it was a different type of murder does make this, you know, a little bit more shocking. Like, I think the fact that, like, it was acting Sue and it was, you know, such a diversion, it really puts the traitors, I think, in a really good spot. And I think it's a better spot than any of them really ever anticipated for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was such a brilliant curveball. I love the fact that nobody with others other than, you know, Parvati or Ekansu, especially Dan and Phaedra.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, like, Dan, you know, Dan was contemplating voting for Ekansu, but I think he just said that on TV. Like, I don't think he was actually going to vote for Ekansu, but he's like, you know, I'm basically throwing away $20,000 here. But I also think what we're seeing from Dan in this episode, he is not as concerned about winning the money as he is winning the game.
Yeah.
He is thinking, hey, I want to win the game. Like, he's there to win the game. He's not there for the money. He's not there for the notoriety. He is there to be a trader and win the game as a trader. And he even says, like, he doesn't think that he can win the game as a solo trader like Cherie did last season. Cherie obviously had her traders, but she was able to cut them before the end. Dan, and I think he's right in this theory, that he cannot win the game as a solo trader, because I do think that he will get sussed out. He's already been sussed out a few times.
Yeah, I think that it would be shocking to me if Dan does end up somehow getting to the end and he doesn't try to win the trader solo. He can say whatever he wants to now, but I think if he has an out, I think that he would rather take all the glory than share it. So, like, I don't necessarily believe him on this. Like, I do think that maybe that's what he's thinking right now. Like, hey, I don't want to turn on Parvati. I don't want to turn on Phaedra. But I think when we get down to, like, you know, episode 10 or so, I think that he'll look at whoever the other traitors are, and I think he'll say, like, hey, I actually think I have a shot to take this person out. I want to have all the glory.
Potentially. But and we'll see in future episodes if that theory holds. But, you know, I don't want to take the irony away from the situation that – we had a whole episode about a funeral. Literally, the episode was called The Funeral.
Yeah.
And Dan has been able to completely shift his place in the game.
Absolutely. And I will say just one last thing on Ekansu. It is a shame to me, and I know you want her reaction to being killed and everything, but, you know, one thing that we know about Ekansu is that she's an actress. She's a liar. She's an actress. So, like, don't you think it'd be funny if, like, they told her ahead of time that she was going to die and then have her, like, have some, like, very dramatic scene of her getting poisoned where she, like, falls into the coffin or something? I don't know. I just feel like, you know, we can maybe give her a little bit of a moment here.
You are a liar, actress.
Yeah. Get the fuck out. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, R.I.P. Ekansu. See you on the Traitors UK Celebrity. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. But... now we're going to get to this, this banishment ceremony, which, you know, we're starting to kind of see the divide in the house, you know, start to grow. And we have the Gamers Alliance, the Bravo Alliance, and the Faithful Alliance, as Janelle likes to call it. So obviously your Gamers Alliance is going to be your competition reality show people, with Sandra, Dan, Parvati, Janelle, TT, Trishel. Those six are on your team. Then you have your Bravo people, and this is like the Gamer Alliance is kind of trying to take a shot at the Bravo Alliance, which is Larsa, MJ, Tamra, Sheree, and Phaedra. So that's a group of six and a group of five. And then you have some floaters, people in the middle, Peter, Kevin, John Burkow, Bergie, like those people that are for sure faithfuls. And this is like a theory that Janelle kind of puts out there. And it's, you know, it's a very solid way of looking at the game, I'd say.
Yeah. We'd love to know what kind of switched for her for like John Burkow. You know, she was the one that was like talking about his asthma and everything. I'd love to know like what actually turned the tide on that. But I mean, listen, I think that it's awesome that these guys that are working together are from like the Surviving the Big Brother and everything, but I think that it's pretty clear that you would say, hey, at least one of the gamers are a traitor. At least one of the people from Bravo is a traitor. And then probably somebody that really could be anywhere. They could be somebody that's not in either of those groups, or they could be somebody that's in one of those groups. And I'm surprised that we are kind of seeing more of like a have and a have not type team battle, as opposed to, hey, it's probably going to be one from each. Like, who do we think is the most capable on each side?
Here's what I have to say, though, about it. And I feel like this, like the gamers clearly win this vote. They get 8 votes on Larsa, who ends up getting banished. And we'll kind of talk a little bit more about, you know, how that came to be. But, you know, I think that the Gamers Alliance, they are not necessarily concerned about banishing traitors. More so, they are concerned more about keeping their numbers. Because at the end of the day, and this is how I would play it personally, like if I'm Janelle's a very good player to look at in this perspective. Someone that's known Dan for a very long time, is very capable of how Dan plays. You've got to think Janelle knows that Dan's a traitor.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case for most of these people, or at least some suspicion. Like, if any of these people that come from these challenge-based shows are even remotely not considering Parvati or Dan, I think they'd be crazy. Like, if you're Sandra, you gotta know that, like, hey, there's probably, like, a 30% chance that either me or Parvati are gonna be the traitor. Because we come from the gamer shows, you know, Sari was a traitor, you know, they may want to run that back, and then if she knows that she's not one, then her suspicions for Parvati should be high. Same thing with Janelle, it should be high. And I guess you could argue the challenge as well. Maybe Trishelle has some, you know, nerves about CT or vice versa. But for the most part, they're probably going to be looking more so at BB Cover and the Survivor people.
Trishelle thought Peppermint was a traitor, so I really don't think that she's as wired in as, say, the 4 Survivor Big Brother players. But I also think that, you know, there is merit in aligning yourself with a traitor, because you can take your traitor all the way to the end, and then at the fire, say, I think there's a traitor still in the game, and if you identify the correct traitor, you win the game. I mean, so I really think that and if you're going to go after traitors that are supposedly people that you can align yourself with early on, then you're going to get sussed out later on as a potential traitor or a potential recruit. So I think that Sandra and Janelle are probably playing the best game right now, I'd say. Sandra more so, only because she has not really been in the line of fire as much as Janelle has. But I also think that Janelle has the numbers to have a backing if, for whatever reason, she is, like, kind of called out as, like, a real suspect.
Well, like, just with Sandra kind of getting in with the housewives, and who knows, that could be completely broken after this vote. You know, I have to think that she's playing, you know, probably the best game, because she is kind of with both sides. And I also think that Sandra has a very high equity to be recruited if there ever is a recruitment. I think that regardless of who goes home between Dan, Parvati, and Phaedra, that she's got a good chance of potentially being one of the people that are selected.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really do think that, because, yeah, we do see, and Sandra does have that confessional where she does say she is the housewife's best friend, or she's acting like that. But she also says that Larsa does get under her skin a little bit, and, you know, Larsa feels very entitled, and she's this, that, and the other. I was surprised that Parvati had the balls to go for Larsa this soon. Larsa has, like getting Larsa out is very good for Parvati's game, because it is someone that, you know, does, like, that did target her right out of the gate, even though she wasn't a traitor at that moment in time. You know, this is, like, Larsa, like, Parvati has been on Larsa's radar. But, you know, this vote could have a lot of, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, the round table and such when it gets to that point, but, you know, Parvati, like, Larsa is a threat for Parvati, and so targeting Larsa is strong, but I feel like it could very easily be, you know, like, sussed out, because it's like, why would Larsa murder Marcus? Why would Larsa murder Banana? Mainly Marcus. Why would you take out a number of yours so early in the game? So I just feel like, people didn't think Larsa was actually a traitor.
Well, I do think that there is something to the fact of, like, hey, like, the traitors are willing to do absolutely anything. And what's a better way to, you know, eliminate suspicion but to take out your best ally? And that ally may be somebody that you fuck 5 times a day, according to Larsa. So I think that, like, I think that it would be tough for me to imagine that somebody that's not from the strategic universe, like a Survivor Big Brother, would have the capability of cutting Marcus so soon. But I can also see how they would say, hey, like, a traitor probably would do this. This is something a traitor would do. And maybe it's just a lot easier. Think about it. Like, if she was a traitor, wouldn't it be hard for her to lie to Marcus? So removing him from the game would actually be easier. Like, there are ways that I can talk myself into that as well. But like you said, like, Larsa is a threat to Parvati, but more so, Bravo is a threat to Parvati. And as Phaedra says in that round table, you know, she's really close to Sherry. She's really close to Tamara. Well, there's not that many people from Bravo left. I mean, you got MJ. I guess they could have maybe put it towards MJ because of the fake funeral. But Larsa's kind of like the only other person. So you have to take a shot at Bravo at this point, because otherwise they will get a lot of numbers at the table. And if you can't, you don't want to completely, you know, blindside Phaedra, although it didn't really work out that way for them. But, you know, if you went after Sherry or Tamara, not only do you not have as good of a case, but also these people that are super duper close to Phaedra, and it could be all out traitor warfare. So I think that maybe they should have maybe done MJ, but Larsa's obviously a lot, like, a lot better of a speaker, a lot more confrontational at the table. I'd probably want to take her out as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think that ultimately, like, there are pros and cons to this. But I also think that had Larsa defended herself a little bit better and found the root of her, trying to be targeted, I think that she could have maybe figured it out, and maybe she could have sold herself a little bit better. That being said, I think, like, Parvati's game, I think, in this episode does take a bit of a hit because of her targeting Bravo. But the thing is, you're not going to get a Bravo person out in a murder because you have Phaedra there. As long as Phaedra's in the game, nobody from Bravo is getting murdered. I think we can agree on that.
Which is tough, right? Because, like, technically Marcus is affiliated with Bravo, and she was willing to take Marcus out. And if you believe what she says at the table, which who knows if you do or not, but, you know, she says that she's not connected to MJ or Larsa, so maybe she would be connected. She would be willing to get rid of Larsa. We don't know because it never was really approached. But I would say that it'd be a lot better to bring it up to her in a potential murder than a vote, because I think Phaedra's probably more upset with the call out of Bravo as a whole.
Because that does incriminate her.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but it also isn't something that, like, you have to be really dumb to be offended by this, because it's the same way. It's like, okay, well, like Larsa said, like, the traitor probably has to be a man. Like, there has to be a man that's a traitor, right? Because we already, there's only so many men there. They're going to pick at least one. Let's just keep going. So if they said, it's got to be a man, it's got to be a woman, it's got to be somebody from the strategy shows, it's got to be somebody from Bravo, like, that to me just would not irritate me, or shouldn't irritate anybody, because it is just natural logic, right? They're going to want to have a diverse set of traders, right? So they're going to want to have, you know, a roughly 66, 33, or 50-50 split of men to women. And they're probably also going to want to have something similar to that for, like, the Bravos versus the, like, strategy shows.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, you know, it's still, you know, really early. They're pulling things off that they've never pulled off before with Ekin Sue and the whole murder. So I feel like, yes, you can point towards that, but I also don't think that Bravo people are thinking in what you just said, because I don't necessarily think that's how they look at the game. But the thing is, like, Phaedra has a right to be, a little shaken here, because Dan has discussed, maybe let's get rid of Phaedra.
Yeah.
You know? So that, like, she is not wrong in this theory of trying to get of Dan and Parvati turning on the housewives. So I really think that they've got it's gonna be very interesting. I do think that Phaedra and Parvati, this is gonna turn into a civil war.
Yeah, I definitely do. I don't see a situation where next week we do not get a traitor being banished. I just cannot imagine that they're able to play ball, because I think after that outburst at the traitor tower that we see at the end of the episode, I can't imagine that Dan and Parvati are going to feel too comfortable with her in the game. And I think if you're Phaedra, you're probably going to want to do the complete opposite of what they did to you, or I guess the complete same thing, and turn it on the strategy people. And then that, you know, if you're going to say, hey, it has to be a strategy person, in the same way they targeted Larsa, don't you think they're going to target Dan because they were already talking about him? So I definitely could see, and who knows, with, like I said, with Kate coming in, things could change up and everything, like the format and stuff, but most likely I do think that we will see a traitor, our first traitor blood next week.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to see about that. But I think that with this vote, you know, the Bravo people, it did seem like in the beginning that they were pretty connected. And Larsa had a strict target on CT. And I don't think that her reasoning for CT is all that bad. I think that, you know, she is, like, her theory on it being a man is true. It being an alpha man, you know, alpha male. If you want to call Dan an alpha male, sure. But I think that she realized that last roundtable there was not enough traction on Dan. And so, hey, let's switch it up and let's go CT. And let me get my girls behind me. So Sheree, Tamra, MJ, let's all do CT. But we saw in the roundtable, it was very disjointed. We saw four votes for Kevin. We saw CT only get one vote. We saw John Burkow get a vote from Sheree. We saw, like, it was a very weird, like, they were not together in that vote at all.
No, they weren't at all. I think Larsa was on the right track. I think her phrasing was kind of bad. When she said it has to be an alpha male, but listen, like, it could be any male, right? Like, if you're down to so few men, I don't think you should just limit it to the alpha male. And I would be interested, like, let's say Deontay stayed in the game. Would her, you know, her fury be pointed at Deontay more than it would have been CT? Because there's nothing more alpha than a heavyweight champion boxer. So I think that would have been really interesting to do as well. But listen, I think that, like, if you are Dan in this situation, just knowing the rhetoric that Larsa was doing and what will probably continue, I don't think that you can kill a man really anytime soon. I think you're going to have to shorten up these numbers.
Mm-hmm. So we see Traitor Tower, and we see Phaedra is not happy with Parvati and Dan, like, at all. And rightfully so.
Yeah. I think she blew it out of proportion. And I get it. Like, she's not from the Big Brothers, the Survivors and stuff. But I really think that everything that Parvati pointed out was just really common logic. I don't think this is anything. And I think that if you're a traitor, one of the best ways to play is, instead of just saying, like, oh, I'm so naive and I'm so dumb, I think it's to really point out, like, factual observations where it's like, hey, it probably does have to be, you know, a man. And at least one woman. It probably does have to be somebody from Bravo. It probably does have to be somebody from the challenge. You know, listen, I think Phaedra did worse than Parvati did Phaedra, right? Like, I think Phaedra's outburst would make me, if I'm like CT or Bergie or one of these other guys as a faithful, I would probably be looking at Phaedra before I would be looking at, you know, Tamra or Sherry after this outburst, because she was so defensive. That was like, Phaedra screwed Phaedra. Like, if this actually does come back to bite her, this was not a Parvati screwing Phaedra here.
No one likes you, Parvati. Everyone says you're a fucking traitor. Don't be in the game together, but you're going to play fair. If you don't, you have more problems than the faithful, both of you.
I love Dan being like, you know, Dan was like the 50 Cent meme. Like, what do you say fuck me for? You know, like, what are you doing? But yeah, I loved it. I also loved the way that Phaedra was saying at the round table, Parvati.
Yeah, it was almost like it was a direct call out. Like, yeah, there was a hidden meaning behind it. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, do you think that this, do you think they'll be able to get the heat on Phaedra next week?
I really think that it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be Dan or Parvati going home, but I definitely think one of them is going to go home. I think gut instinct.
I think it's going to be Dan or Parvati.
Yeah, I guess my gut instinct would be it would be Parvati. Because I do think that even if she doesn't think she's a traitor, I do think that Sandra would probably jump at the opportunity to vote out Parvati. So, like, you know, you just start to kind of, like, do the votes in your head. And I think we'll probably have an easier time. Because, like, who's defending Parvati, really? Like, who? Like, as a faithful. I don't know if anyone would. With Dan, you know, Janelle would. So, I mean, maybe some other people as
Janelle
well.
I think Janelle would. I think Janelle would defend Parvati.
Maybe. But if it comes down to Dan versus Parvati, don't you think that she would side with Dan?
She would side with Dan.
So that's what I'm thinking. I just think that nobody's really going to go to bat for Parvati the way that they'll go to bat for Dan. So if there is going to be a consensus, I would imagine that it's going to be Parvati goes home next week. That's my prediction. But my main prediction is just like one of the traitors is going to have to go.
Yeah. Who do you think gets murdered?
So I have to think of, I don't think they can touch a Bravo person after this. Even the people that she says that she's not close with, like MJ. I don't think they'll go after any of the reality people. I mean, they may go after like Trishelle. My guess is that they're probably going to go after, I think Bergie's got a real shot to get killed. And I would say that my other choice, I would say Burkow as well. I would say Bergie, Burkow, and Trishelle, I think are my top three.
Yeah. Here's my theory. There is no murder. And in this round, this is the round where they put people on trial.
Okay.
That's my theory.
That could happen. I mean, that's something that they did in the UK. We know that the UK is, have some overlap here with the way that America's worked. So I do think that would make sense.
Well, we even saw it last season, right?
Yeah.
Was there an episode where they were put? Yeah, it was Kate and Rachel were put on trial together.
Yeah. I could definitely see them doing that again. Although, man, I just think that it would be such a disgusting event for them to make them do that this round, just because this is the juiciest killing of them all, because this is the one where, like, if Phaedra was going to, like, bend the knee and say, hey, like, Parvati and Dan think this is the right way, I'll do that. This is not going to be the week that she's going to do that, right? Like, she is not going to just, like, go with them for the sake of being nice after what just happened. So this would be, like, the worst time for them to do it from a TV perspective, because this is probably going to be the hardest they have to make a consensus on.
Yeah, I think Trishelle is someone they could probably all agree on. I feel like with Bergie, and Bergie is probably also someone they could all agree on. I feel like with John, I think they still see John as like someone that's like that they can keep along. And plus, you know, John voted with Phaedra at the last roundtable, so I would think that, you know, they keep. And look, Pilot Pete is also someone that could maybe get murdered here. You know, he's been kind of all over the place, but he's doing it more so because he thinks that being a bad faithful will save him from being murdered. And I don't necessarily think it's a horrible strategy, especially when he is kind of one of the floaters. But he may have gotten to a point where it's just the very specific, you know, dynamics of this round in particular may be where he's the least, like, you know, he's the one that they all can come to a consensus on. So, that to me is kind of where it goes. I do think that it probably is going to be Bergie. That's my guess. If there is a murder, I genuinely think there is no murder, because I think they would have maybe teased it a little bit more, but who knows? We'll see. But I gotta say, Wyatt, like, this is like appointment television. Like, I'm loving this season, and this may be like, you know, the fact that we get all of these, you know, high profile TV people in one sitting is still such a treat to me.
Yeah, and I heard that they're already kind of looking at casting for season 3 already. I really hope that they stick to this type of formula, you know, and we don't go into the, you know, music movie star type stuff, because I just don't know if it hits the same if that's the case. Like, I do think these people are just made to be controversial, made to be, have conflict and things like this. I just think that the reality TV world is the way that you cast this type of thing.
Absolutely. But yeah, so thank you so much to those listeners who have tuned in. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and be sure to stick around for everything we've got going here at Reality Daily. We just reported Challenge 39 recap yesterday, so be sure to check that out as well. We've got a whole bunch of other podcasts that we are talking about, all things news, recaps. That's our one-stop shop right here at Reality Daily. So from me and Wyatt here in Traitor's Tower, don't get murdered, and we'll see y'all next week.